Gone with the Wind, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Great Gatsby? What book would you choose as the great American read? I'm Kay McIntyre, and for the rest of today's KPR Presents, Public Television's Search for America's Best Love Novel. The Lawrence Public Library is getting into the Great American Read with a series of events co-sponsored by the University of Kansas Libraries and KCPT. Polly Ken is coordinator of reader services at the Lawrence Library. Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, you're welcome.
What's the idea behind the Great American Read?
I think the main idea is to get our country talking about reading and having passionate reading conversations. This is something I think that PBS hopes we can all get behind is what our favorite read is. And that's something that can get everyone talking to each other.
What do you look for in a great read?
For me, I know, you know, there's certain doorways for books. I know my doorway is character a lot. I really have to like the people I'm reading about, or maybe just be interested in them. Occasionally, I'll like a non-likable character. But I really have to love the people I'm spending time with in these stories. And I really love the idea of being transported out of where I'm at to somewhere else. Like, I love it when, you know, I just put the book down and I can't stop thinking about the book. I love those kinds of books. And so I love being transported out of my daily life as a way to sort of get away from things. But then I like when I'm done with a book, if that book took me out of my daily life, like taught me about another culture or taught me about another way of life. Those are my favorite.
One of the surprising aspects of the Great American Read is they're not all American authors. Agatha Christie's on the list, J.K. Rowling, yeah. Jane Austen. Mm-hmm. What was the idea behind opening it up beyond just American authors?
I'm not really sure. I think a lot of it is it's just more of what America is reading, and maybe not so much that the authors have to be American, but they have definitely impacted how America reads. That's what I think that they were going for.
And how does America read? I mean, like, what kinds of things do we have in common when we're choosing things like the Great American Novel?
Right. Well, you know, when I'm looking at the list, first of all, and I'm not going to remember this statistic, but I read something not too long ago that said upwards of like 24% of us don't, you know, maybe I think read less than 4 books a year.
I find that hard to believe.
It is. But, you know, I mean, I'm very skewed. I work with books all the time. I think you're a book club person. So there's that piece of it. There's maybe a lot of us who aren't reading right now for any particular reason. But looking at this list, I'm noticing it seems like there's a mix of popular reads, like things that are bestsellers, and then classics. And I wondered, when they were polling people, if they got this mix of folks who were currently reading. And so those are the folks who rattled off the bestsellers and folks who haven't read since high school. And those are the folks who were like, what do I remember reading? and could maybe pull out those classics that they remembered reading.
Or to what extent maybe you think, well, Great American Read, that should be a classic. It shouldn't be just the, mm-hmm. you know, the trashy novel I picked
right.
up. And yet the list goes everywhere from, like I said, I start out with sort of thinking the classics like Moby Dick, mm-hmm. Catcher in the Rye, but it includes things like 50 Shades of Grey and the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, the Twilight series.
The Twilight series.
Yeah. Well, I think, I've noticed, like when you watch the episodes, they named it the Great American Read, but I noticed when they talk about it during the episodes, they're really careful to say more like America's Best Loved Read. And so maybe they realized they were getting some pushback about, what do you mean great? And honestly, you know, great can be whatever, to me as a librarian, great is whatever gets somebody to read and whatever gets somebody engaged in stories and then talking about those stories with other people. So, I try really hard to not have a judgment or an opinion about how good the book is. I more try to think about what are the hooks or what are the ways that this book is engaging people. And, you know, sometimes I can look at a book and say, well, that writing might not be the best writing I've ever read, but the story obviously is resonating with people, and the story is obviously catching people in a way that is getting them reading, and that makes me happy, because if they read one book and they like it, then they maybe come look for more, and I can certainly find them more, you know.
Polly, let's get back to The Great American Read. This list of novels, they're novels.
Yes.
The list does not include any nonfiction books. Any thoughts about what's gained or lost by focusing on novels?
I also read probably as much nonfiction as I read fiction, even though I'm in charge of the fiction department. So I think there are some really great books that we're not asking about or are not presenting to people by not doing nonfiction. But I think the idea perhaps was, to center it on the novel and the story. So I think they probably had to come, they just had to narrow their scope. And I've even had people tell me, I wish they would have only chosen adult novels, because, you know, on here you'll have Charlotte's Web. And how on earth am I going to choose between Charlotte's Web and The Color Purple? Because both of those novels rocked my world, and for very different reasons at very different times in my life. But I guess I'll say the one good thing about this is you don't have to pick just one. You can vote for multiple books many times. You can vote every single day from every device you have, and you can vote for multiple books. So maybe just do that and let the chips fall where they may.
So, Polly, I'm going to put you on the spot. What are you voting for on the Great American Novel?
Okay, so I'll tell you the things I have voted for so far. So I voted for The Color Purple is probably...
By Alice Walker
is probably my ultimate book. For a while, I was reading it once a year because I just... I must have picked it up at a time where I needed it, and it impacted me in such a way that I had to keep returning to it. So, and it's just beautiful. And I think it was groundbreaking work at the time when it came out. So, so that book, Outlander, which I loved, which is, by Diana Gabaldon, it's a juggernaut now, but I read it back, 20 years ago or so, when I had small kids, and well, at that time I had one small kid, and I had sort of gotten out, I've been in grad school and then working full time, and I'd just gotten out of the habit of reading for pleasure. And so that book brought pleasure reading back to me.
Some serious escapism. That book's about a little time travel in the Scottish Highlands.
Oh yeah. And Diana leaves, she writes so precisely and writes so much detail that you feel like you are there when you're reading it. And so it was definitely like a little vacation in my mind. And so that book was important to me. Harry Potter has been so important to my children, and then, you know, by extension to me. So I love Harry Potter. The Handmaid's Tale. How could you not vote for The Handmaid's Tale? Beloved also killed me in college when I read that book. You can see, this is like asking me which of my children are my favorite. So those books are have been really important to me. And I'm sure there are some on here. I'm looking at the list. There are some on here that I have loved and are important for other reasons at different times.
I'm visiting with Polly Ken of the Lawrence Public Library. The library is partnering with KU Libraries and KCPT for a series of events tied to the Great American Read. Polly, what have you got planned?
We thought we would screen the episodes. So we did one on September 11th, the kickoff episode. But it's, if you saw the one in May, you pretty much saw the same thing. And so and then we will have a series of five that are themed. So PBS has come up with a theme. And then we are pairing that with some KU professors or a local author, actually, who will be after the airing of that episode, will, discuss, facilitate some discussion around that theme. So the first one is will be September 18th at 7 p.m. Who Am I? Led by Darren Kennedy, professor of English at KU. That's at 7 p.m. and it's going to be at the CapFed Business Building on the KU campus. So parking should be real easy. We'll have subsequent Tuesday, September 25th is Heroes, led by Randy Fuller. October 2nd is Villains and Monsters, led by Giselle Anatole and Laura Moriarty. October 9th is What We Do for Love, led by Aisha Hardison. And then October 16th is Other Worlds, led by Bogi Takash, who's an author here in town. And then also, we've done a little reach out to Chris McKittrich, who teaches at KU and does sci-fi. He says he's interested. So hopefully he will be an addition to what we're doing. And so then the big thing is on October 23rd, that is a live episode. Nobody knows what that one is, what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to be on there. We don't know which book is going to win. But that night is when they sort of, they have that last push for voting. And then that's when the last book will be announced.
The big reveal.
And so KCPT is actually coming down and they are going to celebrate with us. They are very excited. Lawrence is right now the top voter in, so they want to come down. They want to party with us because we obviously, have got it going on in the book department. So we're hoping to kind of make it a big thing. We're talking about we'd be wearing bookish costumes. I don't know. I'm taking this as my opportunity to wear a ball gown because whenever, never.
So why not?
I really should figure out that, how to wear a ball gown to this thing. I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you have any predictions about what you think the big winner will be?
Oh my gosh. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. Although I suspect it will be something more on the highbrow end.
It might be. I think To Kill a Mockingbird might take it.
That is a favorite. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone who doesn't love that book.
I know. I think it's a classic that you can feel good about. You can feel like it hasn't dated itself in a way that, is problematic. So that one seems to be, a little bird told me that one is a top vote getter in the region. So I don't know, though. We'll see what happens when it all comes together. I feel like Harry Potter might be a comer, too. I don't know.
It probably depends a lot on the demographics of who's voting, yeah, as it always does in elections.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you can get, so much of this voting is all electronic. And so if you can get all of your, millennials on their phones voting for Harry Potter, well, you're going to win. So I don't know. That's my two predictions.
Vote early, vote often.
Indeed. Please do.
If people want to find out more about The Great American Read and the Lawrence Public Library's involvement, where can they find out more?
Well, you can go to our website, lplks.org. There should be right smack on the front. You can click on events and see what we're doing in case you don't remember when we're doing these. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. there they'll be. If you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, we are pushing this out through our social media. So check there too. If you wanted to listen more in depth about this, my colleague Kate and I have the Book Squad podcast, which we do at the library, and we did a whole episode on The Great American Read. Those are the best places to get us. But, you can always just stop by, too, and see us at the desk.
Holly, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Get out there and vote.
Yeah, vote, everyone.
What book would you vote for The Great American Read? I'm Kay McIntyre. I posed that question to some of our KPR staff, starting with Tom Parkinson, host of Morning Edition. Tom, if you had to pick one book for The Great American Read, what would yours be?
That's hard. This list could be like a bucket list of books that actually everyone should read at some time during their life. So it was really hard to choose. But the first book, one of the first books I remember reading, my aunt gave me a children's version of Mark Twain's Adventures of Tom Sawyer, and was, shortened children's version. And she inscribed in it to a Tom from Missouri, about a Tom from Missouri, because I was born in Kansas City. And so I read that and I was really intrigued. And a few years later, I was old enough to read the actual book. And I just fell in love with Mark Twain and have read, I guess, all of Mark Twain since then. So it was hard to choose, but I'd have to say that's it. That was my number one.
I'm Jay Schaefer. And if I had to pick a book from this list, I guess it would be Grapes of Wrath. It reminds me of my childhood, growing up on the hard scrabble high plains of West Central Kansas. Oh, wait, no. That wasn't my life. That was the life of my grandparents. Both sets of them, it reminds me of the hardships they faced. But unlike the Joad family of Oklahoma, my Kansas grandparents didn't pull up their stakes and hit the road for sunny, fruit-filled California. Oh, no. They stayed behind and worked hard their whole lives. They were made from sturdy peasant stock. It's not that they enjoyed hard times. They just weren't quitters.
I'm Jeff Watson, and I'm most fond of the tales of haunted castles, unquiet crypts, and monstrosities from the depths of perdition. You may therefore surmise my adoration of the elegant prose of the modern Prometheus, known more widely as Frankenstein.
Hi, I'm Laura Lorson, Kansas Public Radio's All Things Considered host, and my very favorite book of all time is Moby Dick by Herman Melville. I think it is just the great American novel. It's kind of about whales, but it's mostly about everything else in the world. I read it initially when I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and I didn't get anything out of it. I read it again when I was about 30, and all of a sudden I just thought, how did I miss out on how wonderful this book was all these years? It's funny, and it's engaging, and it's serious, and it's wonderful, and it just encapsulates the American experience, the world experience, the experience of being human. And it's my favorite book, and I hope you give it a chance too.
And I am Cordelia Brown. I host the classical music in the evenings here on KPR. I call myself a classical friend. And my favorite book is Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte. And first of all, I think it's a great book because it's certainly an original story. Often you just read the same old tale told in a different place or time or format, but Wuthering Heights is certainly a tale I had never heard before. It is a bit complicated in trying to keep the people straight in both generations of the story, but anyway, I find it amazing that Emily Bronte, who was supposedly this very sheltered young woman, I think it's amazing that she could write something, well, not only so complex and, well, morally outrageous, it certainly was at the time, but so romantic and so emotionally descriptive. It just, the story, it shows the strange world of dark emotion in a whole family through two generations and the love between the two main characters, Heathcliff and Catherine, is the type of love that just goes beyond life, literally. And it's just, they're almost vampires in the way that their love just really consumes. The first time I read it, I was convinced that Heathcliff was a villain, that he was bad boy, which he is. But now in my 50s, as I think about the story, you know, I think he was really the hero in villain's clothing. And I don't know, most of all, it's just an incredibly romantic story. Heathcliff desired Catherine in a way that didn't even have thinking. It was just beyond all reason. It was just his feeling. And that comes out so strongly in Wuthering Heights.
What book would I pick? I couldn't decide, so I'm voting more than once. So can you. Go to pbs.org/Great American Read. I'm Kay McIntyre. KPR Presents is a production of Kansas Public Radio at the University of Kansas.